coming to you from the Hilton New Orleans Hotel Riverside in the Big Easy. It's What's on Joe Mind, coverage of the 2012 International G.I. Joe Collectors Convention. And now, your hosts, Justin, Gary, and Mike.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us from New Orleans. This is What's on Joe Mind. We are very privileged to be sitting with some folks from the Hasbro team today at the 2012 G.I. Joe Convention. Joining us is John Warden and Dave Proctor and Eric Arana, who are members of the design team. Also joining us is Joe Del Regno, who is the director of marketing for G.I. Joe. And we are very privileged for them to join us today and very happy that they could. And basically, it's just going to be kind of a very informal kind of roundtable type of discussion. We're not going to hold your feet to the fire over articulation or anything like that.
We're not?
Thank you. We appreciate that.
We're just kind of,
this is crap.
Turn his mic off.
Not his mic.
And so really it's just going to be, like I said, kind of informal discussion. Just going to talk about what we've seen here this weekend and going forward for 2013 and exciting things on the horizon and so on and so forth. So first of all, thank you guys very much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Definitely. Thank you, Justin.
And first I'll start with John, I guess. And what kind of motivated you guys? There's been a little bit of a controversy online about the whole issue with bringing the vaults up for the convention about whether people really wanted to see this stuff, if they're more blissful in their ignorance.
Sure.
Personally, I love it. I think most of the folks here loved it, but kind of what motivated you to bring that stuff out here to the convention?
Well, really, the G.I. Joe convention is a big celebration for the fans. It's an event for the fans. And it's a time for people who love G.I. Joe to come together to talk and to share stories, to create new memories, to do all things like that. So I figured, you know, when we were sitting back at the office, it would be interesting and fun to bring some of these pieces of the creative process that, you know, get thrown to the side or are part of the process that you can see evolve, because I think that your average Joe collector would find them interesting and intriguing, gets people talking. We do a lot of different types of stuff at Hasbro, a lot of cool figures, a lot of things. When we're developing, we'll grow and change. Not everything makes the cut. A few years ago, when the convention was in Providence, we had a Hasbro tour, and on that tour, we kind of, you know, gave everyone a behind-the-scenes glimpse of the stuff that goes on in the creative process, from sculpting to concepting, and also a look at some of the stuff that was canceled. We had, you know, the decommissioned presentation, if those of you who remember that, who were in Providence. So we figured, you know, let's take it on the road. Let's bring this out, and you know, what better place to showcase some of these hidden gems than the G.I. Joe convention here in front of, you know, all the loyal fans of the G.I. Joe franchise. And to really bring it out there, why not show some of this stuff and just get people's opinions, see what they think, you know, what is the cream of the crop of the stuff that was canceled or was conceptual, and you know, maybe how could that you know, help the brand in the future. You know, are there things in there that we can pull from? You know, a favorite ninja or, you know, favorite classic figure. You know, how do those guys affect the brand?
So John didn't just put those in the case to make everybody cry.
There was many tears.
Well, there's crying is still allowed, but that wasn't the reason.
The fact that Justin was in tears is just a bonus.
Yeah, exactly.
No, if anything, it was more of a case of curiosities, really. I mean, if you across from the Hasbro booth, we have the Joe Declassified booth, a great bunch of guys. They're really cater to the interesting and somewhat hidden aspects of G.I. Joe collecting world. So the hobbyists around the world can, you know, get this once-in-a-lifetime glimpse to look into the creative process and some of those great ideas that are out there and really, you know, have a chance to see it, because there's certain exclusivity. Did I say that right?
Exclusivity, that's good enough.
There you go, close enough.
Long weekend.
it has been, yes. So I think it's just something interesting for these guys to see. In a nutshell, I know that some guys in there are interesting and maybe somewhat sad to see, like, well, is that guy ever going to come out? But as everybody knows, you know, a lot of times things that are done will eventually, you know, make it out. But, you know, This is just a way to share, really, for lack of anything else to say.
So there was no coincidence that the Joda Classified booth was right next to the Hasbro booth across the way?
No, actually, I had no idea. It wasn't a competition of cool. No, although we are pretty cool over here at Hasbro.
No.
So, is there any good way for fans to get out there and express their desire to see specific pieces that are in that concept booth? Or?
Yeah, so there's what's been really great about having the vault up and letting people see it is all the great feedback we got has inspired an idea where what we wanted, and the idea is less than 24 hours old, so not a lot of details yet, but we are definitely motivated to start doing some online polling with our fans, do that on GIJoe.com and get it out to all the fan sites where we can have our fans vote on their favorite figures from the vault. And we'll take that feedback and we'll take it from there and see what we can do to get some of these figures in the market. And we'll also allow for fans to write in some more ideas. So this has really been a great thing to really start getting a meaningful kind of one-on-one dialogue with our fans on a regular basis.
You hear that, Justin? You can quit sending them your crayon sketches of the Mega Marines.
No, actually, please keep those coming.
It is a great source of fun at work.
Look, he sent us another one!
I want to ask just talk to Dave a little bit. Dave, your specialty on the G.I. Joe line is the sculpting. Can you kind of give us a little insight into the process behind that, some pieces that maybe you're most proud of, and kind of how you go about your research for all these crazy, wacky ninja weapons and ninja things that end up in the line? Is that all you, and what do you do to kind of research that whole process?
Well, John and I work very closely as designer and sculpt manager on the brand. We also work with a very talented team of, but small team of sculptors that help me on the projects as well. So I definitely want to give them props. They're pretty much everything on Joe is really a collaborative between John and I, and we both work together to come up with the best possible ideas and the look for the character. John's definitely the brains behind most of the concepting and. You know, terrific characters like Shadow Tracker and the Jungle Viper and Data Viper, these great new characters. But it's also great. A lot of times I get a lot of freedom to play with some of the classic looks and sort of give an updated take. Last year at JoeCon, I did that with the Crimson Guard helmet, which ended up making it into the line, which was a lot of fun. I think a lot of fans gave some positive feedback on being able to see that kind of come to life. So that was pretty cool. Now, some of my favorite things that I've worked on, I gotta say I really enjoyed working on the 30th anniversary Storm Shadow. That's one of my favorites. Also the new movie accurate Snake Eyes for Retaliation was also a lot of fun. Really cool costume.
Also very cool.
Yes.
He's also downplaying the Jinx figure, the Comic-Con exclusive this year, which he put a lot of, like, extra love into. I think, how many hours were you staring at reference of Elodie Young? Like, hard to quantify,
hard to
right?
Yeah.
No,
this is work?
Well, at least half of that was for work.
That's what his billable hour log says.
All right, whose hand can I shake for the micro figures? Man, getting the kids back in the line with those little guys, those are awesome.
Well, this is a collaborative effort, but, you can shake mine, but also shake Mr. Joe DoRegno.
Nice.
Challenged us to think in bold new directions, not just, we've got the cool excitement behind 3¾-inch for sure, just certainly always has been a part of the G.I. Joe line and hopefully will always continue to be a part of the G.I. Joe line. But what's interesting and fun about the new minifigures Microforce assortment is we're really bridging to a whole new group of fans, but we're also providing our diehard fans a new format in which to collect and trade. What's so fun about these things is they're tiny, for one. There's lots of them. There's lots of cool characters that everybody seems to like, and they're in a great low price point, so you'll be able to buy them, trade them. If you get doubles, it's not that big of a deal because A, there's lots of army builders, and B, you can just trade with your friends. I think stuff like that really helps to build community.
I am greatly umbraged that there's no snow job in the set.
There's plenty of opportunity for more figures.
That's what I like to hear.
My God, the umbrage!
What's been great is a lot of the feedback. We've had a lot of proud dads tell us that this is a great bridge, as John said, to get their sons into collecting Joe. So we've heard that message consistently, which makes us feel really good.
I keep getting this image of sitting in an easy chair, 3 in the morning, crying to myself softly as I open my 17th blind pack lowlight.
It's 17 of them!
Now, Eric, Eric Ron, another designer who was...
He appears courtesy of Tostitos, by the way.
Now, he's working with Star Wars now, but before you betrayed G.I. Joe and jumped to Star Wars, what did you do for G.I. Joe?
cut this mic.
The G.I. Joe stuff I was mostly involved in most recently was probably the Dreadnought and Slaughter's Marauder sets and the... Resolute 7 packs as well. I also was instrumental in the Spirit and Quick Kick exclusives. I did a lot of exclusives for G.I. Joe. Probably my favorite thing that I've worked on was the Resolute sets, though. We got to sneak in a lot of new characters in those and get out a lot of stuff that people had seen but hadn't made it out to the market yet. So, like the Storm Shadow and the Destro and everything. So yeah, we had a lot of fun. I love working on G.I. Joe. I miss working on G.I. Joe.
and actually, he's leaving out his most recent contribution.
Oh yeah, Grant, point Joe
was the Lawn Viper, which at the charity auction last night sold for $59,000.
Savage dollars. Also, please don't discount the Kitchen Viper. Come on. I mean, the incredible guy, cool chef hat created by. Our Hasbro's own Dave Proctor. We had a lot of fun doing this stuff. But, because of the fact that it was for charity and because of the fact that we're here with a community of Joe fans, it was our honor to pull this off. The other big thing that Eric has done for this convention that also shouldn't be downplayed is the painting of the Arashikage Mountain, the 7-foot-long mountain in our booth. Literally a... Close Encounters of the Third Kind looking mountain that was crafted by the skilled hands of the Hasbro team, but by no small effort of Mr. Dave Proctor, but certainly painted by Eric Arana. Amazing and hopefully the passion for the brand and maybe the Arashikage clan comes through in this awesome mountain. So hats off to you, Eric. Nice job.
Well, thank you.
That's my favorite place.
It's a big love fest here.
Ours too.
Now, we talked about the history a little bit. As far as going forward, you guys are obviously artists. You're very creative. You kind of like injecting your own thing into the line. So when there is such a heavy influence in the movie stuff, what do you guys do to kind of bring your own energy and excitement to the line when you have to go by movie standards and go by what they're designing?
Well, it helped this time around that Logan Libera, who's an incredibly skilled designer, but also someone who's very integral in understanding of the movie making process, was stationed with the Paramount team. They had a great partnership, and he literally stayed there on set in New Orleans, working, drawing, creating, imagining. So this time around, it's Retaliation. A lot of the designs and the concepts, all the way down to like the very deep beginnings, were something where it was just part of a really, really great partnership between Hasbro and Paramount. And Joe DiRegno can testify to that. It was no trouble at all for us to keep the passion going because, from day one, these guys were great, great partners.
So in the case of Retaliation, this time around, it actually was the case that Hasbro and our team influenced Paramount a great deal. And actually, we actually created a G.I. Joe war room in our office. We commandeered some offices, booted people out.
And, yes!
Yes, and we created really a whole design language. and we use that language and kind of understanding the essence of Cobra and Joe and Arashikage. Built on that, we had Paramount in from directors, writers, producers, and that kind of early on collaboration means that that Dave and Logan and John's creativity was actually came to life in the movie. So this is very much a joint venture between Hasbro and Paramount.
What website is it? TASA, where you can create like big murals, digital murals. I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure. Well, imagine a room, floor to ceiling, covered with printouts of things that we just thought were inspirational. You know, a lot of it was commissioned work. A lot of stuff is, you know, Hasbro Design worked with, you know, artists and even internal guys to create maquettes, to create 3D models, to create digital oil paintings. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful pieces of work, some of which are on display here in the vault case, which is, again, a really great look into the process of creating the G.I. Joe toys. But, you know, it's, Joe DiRegno's description is about right. I mean, imagine a room covered ceiling to floor with G.I. Joe reference, stuff that was cool. And the Paramount team came in and they absorbed it. And we had some great meetings with them. And so from day one, we've been part of it. It's not at all like you know, the studios had something and we made toys of it. It's like we were holding hands with these guys since the beginning, and it was awesome.
I was hoping if you guys could maybe, because I've had a bit of a personal theory.
I smell a conspiracy theory.
No. It's
I
more
see PR Ninja in action.
It's more
is
more
the buying lots of copies of Catcher in the Rye because.
I have no comment on that. But anyways, it's come more the old retailer in me talking, where you know there was a lot of concern when the toys for Retaliation were first shown. Oh, you know how movie toys go. The first two waves will get out there, and then we probably won't see anything else because it'll die off and everybody will move on to the next big thing. Did pushing the movie back and kind of getting wave one out there as almost a teaser, did it almost help ensure that we're going to see more out of this line, because there's going to be more in the pipeline, that basically everything moves up a spot, if you're following the thing.
Right, no, totally.
It coincidentally, it did work out that way, because the product that was released before the movie moved is selling exceptionally well. The reaction from the retailers has been tremendous. The reaction from our different regions, including Canada and Latin America, has been tremendous. So what that means is when we re-release Wave 1 in spring and everything else, we're going to be able to get a lot of retail traction. So it's kind of making lemonade out of lemons, and it's going to be a good thing.
I told you I'm awesome.
My follow-up to that is, obviously, then, Were the ultimate Duke and the ultimate Snake Eyes and the ultimate Firefly, were those new ideas that popped up in lieu of the pushback and you're like, hey, we can do this, or was that already in the pipeline?
Well, you know, we showed a lot of this stuff at Toy Fair. Those of you who are, you know, have the ears to the rails and the G.I. Joe verse know that we did show a lot of this stuff off already. But we wanted to make sure that some things were kept off to the sidelines to really be special reveals. So those things were in the works. You know, once again, it's our effort to try to bring something special to JoeCon, bring something that is really unique for the attendees here and people that luckily were able to, you know, take pictures of it, share with the internet, the internet's people. the internets and
on the tubes.
No, yeah, those were in the pipeline, and it just so happened that, you know, the first wave of those figures, because the, and I think we've heard this a million times, the timeline of the movie development and the Hasbro's production timeline really didn't jive, so we had to kind of start with some of those concept figures, some of Logan Libera's concept work that they're working with the studio, because we were in a position where we had to make some figures. We had to make some choices and really capture the personality of each of those characters. And I think Logan mentioned in his panel, you know, some of them really, really do capture the spirit of some of those figures. And they're just great toys, you know, overall. Lots of great stuff for kids to do. Parachutes that fly, and you know, zip lines that stride across the
the imaginary ninja mountains of a kid's living room. But I think that you'll start to see Wave 2, some more movie-accurate figures, especially in that Roadblock in there, and a fantastic Snake Eyes figure. So this is just a continuation of that. And it is exciting to reveal them here because, you know, I love these figures. I know Dave loves these figures. Right, Dave?
Yeah, the figures were real fun to work on, especially the not just the movie-accurate ones, but also the ones that are a little bit more conceptual. It's fun to reinvent characters like that from time to time. We do a lot of recreations of the old characters from the 80s, and some of which are a little bit more strictly aligned with the original. It's always fun to break away from that from time to time and do something a little bit more different.
Just a compliment to John and Dave in particular. Whenever they recreate a figure like they're talking about, I'm always genuinely inspired by they always try to do it better. They want to make the best whatever figure that's ever been done when they recreate something. And then if a couple years later they're recreating it, they want to outdo themselves again. So there's a passion for excellence.
I have to say that I'm not fond of either of you right now because you're going to make me buy more Dukes and more Snake Eyes. And I said to myself, you know, I've got so many of those guys. No, now they're even more awesome.
As Joe mentioned, we're always trying to push the level of detail and quality in our sculpts. And you know, I've been asked by many people this weekend, you know, what's the difference between what you did in 25th anniversary and what you're doing now? And it's really not that we're trying to do something different, it's just that we've been getting better at it. So at the time, we were trying to do the best we could, and we were. Now we're doing better because of the natural evolution.
Sounds like a podcast.
I don't see how we've gotten out of the gutter yet.
No, that's true.
Now, obviously, there's still some stuff, some Retaliation movie stuff that doesn't seem like it's in the line, movie accurate Cobra Commander, some stuff like that. Is there still some stuff being held back for, like, SDCC or Toy Fair that we may see new in a week and a half or so?
Well, I know Daryl DePriest did mention that we've got some things planned to reveal for Toy Fair. I don't know. I don't think we have anything planned to reveal for San Diego Comic-Con. In terms of, I'm going to have to give the Hasbro speak here.
For the record, there was no winking or nudging during that answer.
I can't talk too much about what we have in store because, you know, I'm just not supposed to. but I can say that there's some really, really cool stuff in store. And there's a lot of cool figures. There's a lot of, exciting figures that I think fans of the movie and fans of the classic line, I think, are going to embrace because really it's all G.I. Joe to me. It's all good stuff, and I think people are going to be genuinely excited about the stuff to come.
Last question. Should I waste the last question on Flynn, or is yours better? All right, we will waste the last question on Quinn because all the fandom wants to know about Quinn. I think we've got a lot of feedback on our Facebook page and Twitter. Quinn, now we heard Daryl say that he wants that to happen. And I do too. I do too.
We don't know when, we don't know where, but I feel comfortable saying I'm confident there's an excellent chance that there will be a Quinn.
All right. I like the choice of wording.
Good answer.
Hell or high water.
Is part of this excellent chance, perhaps with a couple $20 bills out in the parking garage.
Tell you what,
just a couple.
Well, a couple is such a vague term.
Now,
give me $1 million Savage Bucks, and we'll talk.
Let me get a pen.
$1 million Savage Bucks.
Let me get a pen.
All right, we're going to wrap it up here for G.I. Joe Con 2012. I want to really thank John, Dave, Eric, and Joe for joining us from Hasbro. They've been very busy all weekend long, spending a lot of time with the fans, a lot of time on the floor, and we really appreciate them taking just a few minutes to talk with us. We're honored that you agreed to come on the podcast and join us today. So thank you guys very much.
Thanks, Justin.
We love what we're seeing. We're great. We're excited to see Retaliation on Friday, but we're still excited to see it in March as well. So we'll be sticking around, and we can't wait to see what
else is coming. Everything is better in 3D.
Yo, Joe!
Yo, Joe! Thanks, guys. Thanks.
Thank you.
Shelter me, Lord, underneath your wing. Shelter me, Lord, underneath your wing. Hide me underneath your wings. Hide me deep inside your heart. In your refuge, cover me. Blow, the rain can pour, the deluge breaks, the tempest roars, but in the storm, my spirit sings.